tell them what to think and how to feel and what to want. They even need help writing their wildest dreams, crafting their worst fears. Lucky for them, they have me.
No, oh, they also have us!
Welcome to Cord Killers, our mission to report the intel from the front lines of the cord-cutting revolution so that you, my friends, have the information you need to be able to watch what you want, when you want, where you want, on whatever device you want. I'm Tom Merritt. Brian Brushwood, how the heck are you?
Oh, man, I'm the best person on the planet. Better than you. Better than you are. Well, how good are you? However good you are, multiply that times five.
Okay,
that's how
Frank Underwood.
Yeah, but not as good as Frank Underwood, who's busy whipping the votes into shape going into season five of House of Cards. Can you believe we're at a fifth season? That.
Yeah, man. Real quickly, before we get to our guest, I was stunned that this trailer dropped and I saw virtually no mention of it anywhere.
Yeah. Like,
in the past, House of Cards trailer drops and everybody's talking about it. Everybody's writing it up. You know, I'm seeing it in my RSS feeds and everywhere. Like, it has just become like an established show. I don't think people are less excited than last season. It's just, it's on its cruising speed.
It is. Number one, you're 100% correct. It is, in some degrees, a reflection of the establishment of the show and its well-deserved position. However, I think in general, America's thirst for the fantasy of a megalomaniacal, insane person running the White House maybe diminished a little bit.
Well, even if you don't agree with that description, I think America's appetite for political drama maybe satiated.
Wait, you know what? I don't even know that it's satiated. I just know that we're getting it from someplace different,
yeah.
i.e. the headlines instead
Absolutely.
Of fantasy.
Well, we got a lot of cord-cutting news to talk about today, and thankfully, we have Nicole Lee from Engadget joining us today.
Woo!
Not only a fine, top-notch tech reporter, but also a brand-new cord cutter, right, Nicole?
That's right. As of, I want to say, 2 weeks ago, I canceled cable for the first time ever. For the first time in, like, 20-plus years, I'm without cable.
How did it go? Like, did they pull that maneuver where suddenly they're like, well, we were just joking about $150 a month. How would you take $20 and a taco?
$20 and a taco. I wish it offered that. the surprising thing perhaps was that the cancellation went really smoothly. They almost had no arguments. They were like, I mean, they did sort of come back with, like, you know, how about just an internet-only offer, that kind of thing. But it was very smooth. I think because there was nothing they could say. They knew that there was nothing they could say that would have made us say the other way.
This is an angle, Tom, that I don't think we've heard before. The idea that they've heard the arguments enough that they're kind of, like, just defeated. They're like, yeah, fine. So speaking of which... what have you done to adjust your viewing habits? How do you get the stuff that you cared about? And number one, what do you care about? Number two, how are you getting it now?
So I wanted to cut the cord for years, it seems like, and especially in the past few months when it's been getting a little easier to get content when you cut the cord. But the main thing that was holding me back was sports. Like, sports and local channels were, like, the main things I watched. I kept Comcast for so long was because of live sports. And I was clued in recently that you can watch live local sports on cord-cutting services. And this was kind of a new thing for me. And what especially made me switch over was YouTube TV. It came out like a couple of weeks ago. And the thing that really brought me over was that, well, number one, it had live sports, specifically live baseball for me. And number two, it has unlimited, quote-unquote, unlimited cloud DVR. And those two things together really sealed the deal for me. I was like, all right, it has live sports. It has that unlimited cloud DVR. And the fact that you can follow an individual team, like, throughout the whole season, like, that's totally sealed the deal for me.
So it was YouTube TV and live sports, folks. Folks out there who are like, ah, but sports, here's living proof that, you know, the sports needs are getting met more and more. So YouTube, I assume you also have Netflix, Hulu, stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Well, today is the great unsub purge that Brian Brushwood called for last week. Now, Nicole, as a nude cord cutter, this isn't as big of a problem for you. But for people who have been subscribing to lots of different services, you may forget which ones you have. And Brian, last week you challenged people that starting May 1st, cancel everything and only keep the things that you're going to watch that day and only resubscribe as you find you need a service.
Yeah, dude. As a matter of fact, right now I'm on Amazon.com. I'm going to type in unsubscribe stars. Unsubscribe.
But you go to watch American Gods. Like, you need that. You don't need to cancel
I'll
that
resubscribe.
Right.
I'll resubscribe. It'll be fine. We live in the 21st century. It'll be just fine. How do I unsubscribe stars?
you don't have to do it right this second, but yeah. So the idea is that everybody just go through and cancel all your subscriptions. At least find out what you're subscribed to, if nothing else, right? And get rid of the stuff if you don't remember that it was there.
Yeah, hold on. This might take a minute. It turns out it's a more complicated ideal than I originally thought.
Maybe we should roll on into...
Well, actually, hold on. Real quick. I mean, now that I look at about... I mean, they do have Ghostbusters this month. I never got around to
seeing
it.
American Gods every week. Like, that's the one you get to keep because you have a reason to watch it right away.
Okay, but I'll resubscribe. I have to... Look, I'm the one who proposed this idea. I have to unsubscribe from everything.
Do they sell Paul Block too?
Trust us. Brian unsubscribed from it.
By the way, Bryce thought that would go under the radar. Do they still have Paul Blart 2, which is the reason that you got subscribed to Stars?
And then paid for a month of it. Yes.
All right, let's move on to our primary target. Twitter chief operating officer, who also happens to be the chief financial officer, Anthony Noto, told BuzzFeed News last week that Twitter plans to stream video 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, covering news, sports, and entertainment. He didn't give a date, saying it will take some time to ramp up the many, many things they want to do. However, at the new fronts today, Twitter and Bloomberg at least announced a big chunk of this by announcing a partnership for Twitter to not just retransmit Bloomberg's existing live video stream. They do a financial live stream that you can get over the internet right now, but also an original live stream for Twitter. So Bloomberg will provide the editorial. It'll be entirely editorially under Bloomberg's control. They'll mix in live video from Twitter users, Periscope users, but it will be broader in focus than financial-oriented news. It sounds more like that sports, entertainment, and news mix. And Brian, I think this is really significant because one of the things Netflix did was said, hey, we can't just keep trying to buy things from other people because they keep trying to cut us off from buying things. Stars, for instance, right?
Right.
So they said, let's just make our own programming and take it straight to the people. That way that we don't have to get approval to be on somebody's cable system. We'll just go straight to the people. And Netflix has now become a channel because of that. Twitter's trying to do here, I think, is really significant because they're saying, hey, yeah, you can go subscribe to PlayStation View, Sling TV, et cetera, and get your 24/7 news, but we can just bring one straight to you. You don't need anybody's permission, and we got a high-quality news agency behind it.
Stop me if you've heard this before, Tom, but it's almost as though Twitter is barreling forward with the idea that convenience will trump fidelity. Yes, you could have the news background of an MSNBC, a CNN, a Fox News, all of the above, CNBC and so on. But if you're watching the Matrix-like feed of information from your friends coming in, next time there's an event, and again, this is what I like about this play, is that they're not saying, we don't know when the next big news nexus is going to happen. But when it does, we know reliably, after nearly a decade of doing this, or I guess more than a decade, we know that you and everybody you care about will be handling it right here on Twitter. And when that happens, it's going to be real easy for us to feed you one feed of us talking about what you are talking about, showing the video that you submitted and so on. So my only hesitation on this, like on the one hand, in every way, this feels like the right move. And it feels like it's in line with everything I've been barking about like a freaking dog for so long. But I'm disturbed by the fact that it's not worked up until now, and I don't know that this implementation is significantly different enough for it to suddenly work better. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, I think Twitter would argue this is entirely different. This is a new channel. It's got a higher quality editorial team. This is like CNN, Fox News, or MSNBC, except online, and you don't have to subscribe to something to get it. And Nicole, as a fresh cord cutter, I'm curious, YouTube has news channels on it, but if you have to think about subscribing to it, people might not want to go and figure out what to subscribe just to get news. It's easy to just go to twitter.com. Does this sound like something you'd tune into?
I think it really depends on who they're going after. I think for me personally, I'm on Twitter all the time anyway, so it's sort of a value add for me because I'm an existing Twitter user. So I'm already have my eyes on the feed, so to have sort of a little box in the corner with video on it, that's a value add, right? But I think if I wasn't already a Twitter user, I don't know if that's enough for me to start using Twitter. I think because of existing services, like you mentioned, YouTube TV, Sling TV has news on it as well. I don't know if that's enough for me to say, hey, Twitter has news too. Let's fire up Twitter.com and find out what's on. You know, I don't know if that's enough to get new users. But I think for existing Twitter users, it's a value add for sure.
Man, that's a really interesting take because I didn't even when I read it, I didn't even think about it as a seductive come to Twitter moment. I thought of it as you mentioned, a value add where it's like basically this is the kind of thing that if it works good enough, and it doesn't have to be great, doesn't have to be extraordinary, it just has to work good enough that I notice after a year of like, wow, there's been five like record, you know, big events. And for four of those five, I've found the Twitter service just fine. Why am I paying for Sling TV again? You know, that's what I figured.
I here's where I think Twitter benefits and maybe gets some new users. And tell me if you think this is nuts. I am the classic millennial. Don't look at the gray in my beard. And I don't have any subscription. I don't subscribe to Sling TV or PlayStation View. I'm one of those people who thinks that that's just cable under another name. I watch YouTube. I watch some Netflix. And then I either buy or download all the other shows I want to watch. When breaking news happens, I have to kind of dig around right now and figure out, oh, who has the live stream? Which is the easiest live stream to get to? If suddenly Twitter, which is where I'm probably going to find the link to the live stream, has the live stream and it's a high quality editorial operation like Bloomberg behind it, suddenly I'm capturing those people and they start to think of Twitter as, oh, I want to watch the news. And I don't subscribe to Sling. I don't go jump through the hoops and get YouTube TV. I just watch Twitter for news. And now there's pressure on the 24/7 news channels to come up with a competitor for that that isn't bundled in with anything else.
You know what it's like? It's like there was a hot chunk where anytime any big press announcement happened in the world of tech, I knew that I could go to twit.tv and whether it was their feed or someone else's or a rebroadcast of a Twitch feed, I knew that I would get give or take plus or minus 30 seconds, the latest, most available up-to-date version of the story, right?
Yeah. Except this is for everything.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the key would be, as you mentioned, having the Bloomberg side of Twitter TV, whatever they're going to call it, be as up to speed and be as breaking news as Twitter is. Because as we both know, as we all know, Twitter often gets news like hours ahead of cable news sometimes, you know. And I think if this new Twitter TV service can be as on top of the news as Twitter is, that's totally a value add.
Okay, this just happened because as we're recording the show, Twitter's doing their new fronts. Twitter, according to the Wall Street Journal, announced a range of live streaming video deals. They will partner with BuzzFeed, Vox Media, MLB Advanced Media, and Live Nation to produce or provide live streaming content for the platform. BuzzFeed's going to create a news and current events show to be broadcast live on Twitter every morning. Vox is going to create a weekly live show dedicated to gadgets called Circuit Breaker. WNBA will live stream 20 regular season games And Major League Baseball Advanced Media, or BAM, will produce a new 3-hour weekly MLB program featuring game look-ins and highlights. Twitter is also joining Bloomberg, which we just talked about with that 24/7 feed. Twitter said it streamed more than 800 hours of live video in the first quarter of 2017, compared with 600 hours the previous quarter. Other live video content will be published on Twitter by Cheddar, which is a financial network, the Players Tribune, and PGA Tour.
So
this is not just Bloomberg 24/7 news. This is Twitter is trying to be a platform for if it's happening now. We're talking about it.
So wrap your mind around this. Like there have been a number of events over the last half decade that I can remember watching Twitter be first to break the story on, and then 2 hours later it shows up on the cable networks, and then first to correct the story on, where it's like, no, what you're hearing is wrong, whatever. Mm. And then meanwhile, like you're getting the raw feed directly from people with boots on the ground, and you're watching CNN report it inaccurately because it takes a while for their machine. If what they're proposing with this initiative is to basically say, apparently we have the live feed that is most valuable when the darkest, deepest, most important news breaks. If we don't bother to have a news a stream ability, then we're insane. And so I'm glad to see what they're doing. I think in general, on balance, it'll be extraordinarily useful for humanity.
I would say the one sore point that I've noticed with Twitter TV is that it still honors the blackout for MLB games. So if you're watching like a baseball game, Twitter.com will know your location and it will still honor the blackout.
Hitting them on the hard questions. That's Nicole Lee, Tom. That's what we're dealing with.
It's true.
I mean, it does. They still honor the blackout. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, keep in mind, Twitter is not charging you anything for this.
True.
This is, I think, the big part that people will forget here is this is permissionless viewing. And this is what a huge number of folks want is, I don't want to have to sign up for something. I don't want to have to pay for something. I just want to watch what's happening. And Twitter is banking on that. Because the Twitter app on Apple TV, unlike the Facebook app on Apple TV for video, doesn't require you to log in.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Makes sense.
All right, let's move on and thank our patrons who make this all possible. You know what May 1st is? It's not just about Morris dancers and anarchists. It's about the patrons, because the first of every month is when we get paid by our bosses who keep us loud, live, and independent at patreon.com/cordkillers.
Not only that, Tom, it's also the magical day when entire chunks of our patron audience vanish mysteriously without a word left, because suddenly some people look and they're like, wait, I'm still paying these assholes? And then they click it and then off they go.
It's like October 14th for Patreon.
but for those of you guys who stick
and
around.
So then Brian and I don all white and smoke cigarettes and just stand silent.
These are leftover jokes, people, if you're not watching the leftover.
I was with you. if you would like to be a member of the guilty remnant of those who support Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/cordkillers and you can join the 1,700, normally I say plus, but I'll just say 1,700 people as of the moment who support the show. Look, guys, when you support the show, not only do you allow us to change our lives, man. We used to be part of a network. We used to be beholden to other people. But nowadays we're able to be, as Tom said, loud, live, and independent. And it's all thanks to you guys.
Keep it coming, folks. We appreciate it. Now it's time for How to Watch.
Oh, okay. I was expecting. Do we want to talk about the other thing that we were going
to
announce?
Well, I paused there for you to jump in, Bryce. Oh. I apologize.
Someone told me they would throw to me.
That's your fault for not caring enough and jumping in hard enough.
It's not written down in front of me. I'm an old man, Bryce.
Well, do it live.
Give me a break.
It's going great, guys. Perfect. It's going great. We're top tier podcast.
Look, would you like these kind of miscommunications to end? You need to back us on Patreon. All right?
I had an idea for a goal for the Cord Killers Patreon, and that's going to be sort of the next thing that we unlock. When we hit 1,850 patrons, it's 150 new people, we are going to begin what is tentatively titled the Untitled Spoiler in Time Revitalization Project.
Yeah, so basically there's a lot of people who, one of the artifacts of the podcasting world is that there are people who are discovering our show now who literally could go back to episode one and start doing it. Now, granted, we're mainly a news-based podcast these days, so it's not very fulfilling. Yeah. Fulfilling is a little bit tedious, especially as we talk about our opinions of stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other side of the asymmetry, you have the fact that Tom and I are watching a show that's been off the air for 3 years now, in Justified, 3 years is whatever. Like we're watching a library of old shows and giving our opinions on it.
But
and
if you wanted to go back and catch up with that show,
exactly,
you would also have to go back a year or
listen
so.
To a bunch of old news. So, and you'd have to hear us be wrong, and that would be embarrassing. But I don't want that.
Even with Spoiler in Time, there are multiple things in one. Episode, so you've got to deal with time codes and you've got to deal with show notes. So the idea is going to be, once we hit 1850, we'll start to figure out what this looks like, but creating unofficial feeds for the patrons that they can subscribe to on a per show basis. So we could have a The Shield feed where you could go back and start from the very beginning of The Shield and just listen to that show's stuff. And once we hit that point, we can figure out what the next steps are in terms of being consistent and committing to stuff. But 1850, and we can start working on bringing those things back and making them more accessible.
Which, by the way, suddenly makes me feel, Tom, tell me if you feel the same way. Like, it makes me feel like every week when we do Spoiler in Time, what we're doing is we're contributing, kind of like the Music Genome Project is carving up, you know, all the attributes of all the different types of music ever. Like, we're giving the Tom and Brianification of all the media that we've consumed.
But because, instead of trying to be objective, it's completely subjective.
It's our opinion, right? But still, it's our stink on all of these different things, right? Which sounds silly when you think about it as us of just a single season of whatever, but we're coming up, like, we're barreling towards a decade of us watching and reviewing stuff, and it would be great for people to, you know, have everything carved out, sliced up, so that they could say, I watched this thing. Oh, let me hear them fresh, right, what they said about it.
So
if you want to hear the recaps of the different shows we talk about on Spoiler in Time, broken out by individual feeds per show, Man in the High Castle, Better Call Saul, The Shield, Justified, keep an eye out at patreon.com/cordkillers for more details. We need to get to 1,850 subscribers to do it.
Yeah.
Now it's time for How to Watch. So Deadline reports Warner Brothers and DC Entertainment are in the process of launching a streaming service. They would launch it sometime in 2018. So they're in the process of developing it for launch with two original series. Titans will be written by Greg Berlanti. Greg Berlanti, of course, of Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, etc. Jeff Johns and Akiva Goldsman. And an animated series would be Young Justice Outsiders, which would be the third series of Young Justice. The service from DC is supposed to also include comics as well as television and include some sort of fan interaction. And Brian, that's the part that caught my eye is, all right, here's another streaming service with some other originals. Maybe it'll be good. Maybe it'll grab me. And then they said, and you'll also get access to DC Comics.
Now, when you say access, like, is this unlimited access?
You know how Marvel Unlimited, you pay per month and you get access to a large portion of the Marvel catalog?
Sure, sure.
My guess is they're talking about something like that.
Which, by the way, if DC is looking for a move that they can totally punch the butt of Marvel on, which is a phrase I'm sure they use around in the comic universe, I would imagine, like as good as the Marvel Unlimited stuff is, it most certainly is not unlimited. It most certainly is a hodgepodge of, you know, what they've gotten around to scanning or whatever. Like, if DC today were to say every DC comic anywhere ever go, I think they would draw a lot of people in.
Think Marvel's a little better stocked than it used to be, too. But yeah, I mean, DC could just say everything that's older than a month old in here, plus original television shows, and a bunch of our animated television show back catalog.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. Oh, my God. What about this? As a total marketing strategy, you guys can have this one for free. Like, the one message is definitely complete. That's what DC stands for. And then, like from that point forward, like, you pay a monthly fee. Every DC movie, every DC comic book, every DC anything, boom.
I like that slogan. Nicole, this sounds like it appeals to you.
No, it totally... If they really do this, like, definitely complete unlimited subscription deal, that sounds amazing. That sounds great. I mean, especially if it includes all of the off titles like Vertigo and American Top Stories or something, whatever it is. I think that would be great. That would be kind of unprecedented, actually.
And my streaming fatigue falls away really fast when you give me something besides just television shows here. So if it's $9.99 a month, and I get a definitely complete unlimited archive access and original shows plus back catalog shows. I mean, I'm probably going to sign up and read some comics I wouldn't have read otherwise.
Absolutely.
Yep. Nope. Makes sense to me. Smart move.
All right. DC, you need to hire Brian Brushwood as your marketing guy.
I mean, or just write me a check. I don't need to show up for work. It's
well,
fine.
And by hire, I mean write him a check. Let's talk about what to watch in Under Surveillance.
Not like you, Mr.
So the House of Cards Season 5 trailer is out, of course. Season 5 comes out to Netflix May 30th. Also, getting a date is The Tick, coming to Amazon, premiering August 25th.
Yay.
Tick fan?
Hey, Tom. Tell me if I'm alone in this one, but when you pressed play on the latest episode of Justified that we're watching for spoiler in time, did you get an unskippable 20 or 15, 30-second ad about The Tick?
No.
Well, I did. And
I usually can skip those Amazon ads.
Not this one. Like, it's literally, it just starts playing, and I put the mouse over there, moved it around, and it was like, it was unskippable. And
I got Bosch.
I didn't mind it the first time, but the second time, I'm like, yeah, I get it. The Tick's coming. Thank you. Which I thought, I don't know that we really paused to notice this strategy from Amazon before.
I don't know. It doesn't bother me at all. Maybe that's why I haven't said anything about it. Yeah. Okay. I barely notice it.
FX has done that. They've baked FX promos into their digital videos.
I mean,
sometimes they'll do like two or three on FX. It's kind of annoying.
Weirdly, I don't mind that because FX is the one that owns it. What I mind it is when and this is a bizarre distinction, and I know I'm wrong.
Well, hold on. FX are the ones I'm paying for. I'm like buying an episode from FX and downloading it, paying $2.99, and they put two or three like ads for their shows in front of it.
Okay.
At least with Amazon, it's just part of a subscription that I'm barely paying for.
Oh, is that what's happening? No. Is that what's happening? Because like, I don't mind it because I'm buying it from FX and FX says, here is your product. It comes with this 1 minute trailer at the beginning. I don't mind that. But with Amazon tacking it on, Amazon is basically saying we're tacking on this ad because we can, because we're the distribution channel that you happen to be using. I wouldn't see that anywhere else, because at least like the FX thing, no matter where I bought it from, it's always going to have that thing at the beginning because FX owns it and they're allowed to alter the artistic
product. Well,
Amazon
owns the right to show you Justified too. That's no different.
Well, I'm not saying that they don't. I'm not arguing rights. I'm arguing how I feel when I see it.
Brian's upset about 15 seconds of his life that he couldn't skip.
No, the news was
that The Tick is coming out August 25th, and I know Nicole reacted when I said that, and I want to give her a chance to comment on it.
I mean, well, two things. Number one, I totally feel you on the ad thing. I feel like that's kind of a side question I have with the whole court killing movement, which we might want to revisit. I'm not really sure. Number two, The Tick is great. I mean, I love the animated series, and I love the actor involved here, and it sounds like a good show. I'll watch it.
Is that part of your annoyance, Brian, is that you're not as excited for The Tick?
I mean, you know what's funny is I don't think consciously I thought about it, but I wonder if that is the case, partly because I've given The Tick so many tries, right? I keep giving it an audition, and it keeps you know, coming in at like 72% of what I'd hoped from it. And I don't know. It's totally irrational. And again, I'm not mad. I just find it curious, and it seems unique and different from my previous experiences.
Yeah, it's an interesting difference that you're watching a streaming service. Netflix doesn't do this, right? And so
yeah,
I think that's part of it too, is you're watching Justified. You picked Justified to watch. You didn't buy something and download it. Even though, as odd as it sounds, when you buy something and download it, you're just thinking of it as one thing. Whereas I think what's bothering you, Brian, may be that you're like, no, is this going to happen every time I watch everything in this entire catalog?
Well, and again, I think it boils down to like, I hesitate to use words like mind and do mind and don't mind. I don't notice it on HBO because HBO owns it. Whatever the product is, HBO is the one who gets to shape that for me. That's fine. But Amazon is straight up just a distributor. So when I'm wanting to watch a product from FX.
So would it be okay on The Man in the High Castle for them to do it?
Yeah, totally. Totally. I don't think I, or specifically, and again, I'm not saying what's okay or not okay. I'm saying I would have noticed it or not noticed it. Have noticed it if there was a transparent ad at the beginning of Man in the High Castle.
And to be clear, you're watching it through Amazon, the Amazon Prime subscription.
Correct.
Didn't buy the season.
No. This is one I bought.
You did buy the
Justified?
Season.
Wait, was it Justified?
You said Justified.
That's the problem, is I buy half my stuff on there. So it might be that I was watching it for free on Justified. And meanwhile, the stuff that I bought, it didn't show up on. Yeah, that would make sense. In which case, I rescind everything and I'm wrong.
Well, I have more bad news for you guys. I know you're going to be upset about this, both of you. Apple said its Carpool Karaoke show that was supposed to debut at the end of April is not going to debut at the end of April, mostly because it's May, but also because they've said...
I would love that to be in the press release. Mostly because it's May, comma, but also ...
No, really, in true Apple fashion, all they said was the series will premiere on Apple Music later this year. They postponed the launch party twice. It's supposed to have 16 half-hour episodes. It's based on the segment from James Corden's Late Late Show. It's produced by CBS. They've shot a bunch of them, so I'm have no clue as to why this is delayed, but it's delayed.
You know what? It might be because I don't know. Yeah, this is unfair because I've never really dived into this component. I haven't seen, you know, I've never fallen in love with this segment. But it occurs to me that maybe some people are realizing that to create a compelling half-hour narrative, you need something besides a recurring bit from a late-night talk show.
Could be all the
end. Is anyone actually, like, do you foresee people signing up for Apple Music because of this? Because I just don't see it at all.
This is something we've talked about before, is because some of the times they do stuff with the expectation it will draw people to sign up. Other times it's essentially fan service. Basically, like, we want to keep the people we have and remind them how rad we are by
doing
this.
You like the musics? Here's a show
you
about the
musics.
Music?
Here's a TV bit about music.
The musics.
Yeah. That's the official Apple slogan. For Apple Music. All right, let's talk about what we're watching. Starting with you, Nicole, what's been filling up your screens lately?
What have I been watching? Well, I can't not talk about American Gods, which sort of debuted yesterday. I am a big Neil Gaiman fan, and I was looking forward to this just for since forever, it seems like. And the casting looks great. I was kind of nervous too, because I'm a big fan of the book, so I wasn't sure, like, will it translate well to TV? And I was a little bit hesitant about that, but it was great. Like, I don't know how much are we spoiling?
Well,
stuff
we'll
in
go
this
into
like,
spoiler and on spoiler and time separately. We'll go into spoilers.
Okay.
But it sounds like you were satisfied by the first episode.
I was a little bit, I'm still a tiny little bit skeptical based on things I've seen, but Hopeful, very hopeful.
And we'll talk about this in spoiler and time proper, but I'm trying to read the waves from what you're saying. let me ask a random question. Were you as surprised as I was with how much emotional gravitas there was to Shadow in the television show? He seemed extraordinarily stoic in the book, whereas in the TV show he seems very very hot, very driven.
So in the this was one of the points that I was a little bit concerned about, right? Because in the book there's a lot of internal dialogue, a lot of internal stuff happening silently, and I was interested to see how they would translate that to TV, because it's all visual, right? So I think the actor's name, I can't remember his name right now, but I think he nails, I think he totally nails that silence sort of character, that sort of stoicness, but without being silent all the time.
All right, we'll save everything for spoiler time. We'll get into that.
Yeah. Let me just say, I thought at first, Brian, you were going to say, I never knew that someone could be filled with so many arrows.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, those are very precise natives, for the record. Yeah. it's an island of gambits.
The other thing you said you were watching was Legion?
Yeah, Legion. So I've only watched the first few episodes. I'm completely on all the episodes yet. But it is crazy. I watched the first couple of episodes, and I'm like, what is happening? I don't know what's happening, but it's fascinating, and it's so interesting. It is unlike any superhero show I've ever seen. It's kind of, you know, mind-effery, and it's, I don't know.
This is why we need the project that will break out previous spoiler in times by show, so we could just hand all of our Legion discussions to Nicole to listen to as she goes back and watches Legion.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, Nicole. I'm really excited even to see your reflected starry-eyed view of your first experience, because you're talking to a guy who has rewatched the first episode 3 or 4 times now, and there's something about the directorial style that is just the right amount of challenging, that is just the right amount of engaging. The world is just the right amount of ridiculous and compelling and terrifying that I am totally sucked in. You know, comparisons, you know, Wes Anderson meets Bryan Singer meets, you know, Logan. It's great. I've really, really enjoyed it, and I'm so thrilled that you're taking that challenge.
I'm totally loving it. Maybe it's because I do like those kinds of movies, like Eternal Sunshine, Spotlight, like those kinds of like weird, like mind freaky, time travel-y kind of shows. This is why I love the show so much. But I'm fascinated. I'm in love with it so far.
Awesome.
All right, we're going to talk about so many things in spoiler in time this week. Better Call Saul, Justified, Fargo, et cetera, Leftovers. I want to mention Doctor Who Episode 3, I think, is one of the strongest Doctor Who episodes in a long time. So if you've been away from Doctor Who and were wondering if it's worth coming back, I think it might be worth coming back. And then I signed up for Stars to watch American Gods, and we were just tooling around in there to see what else is there. And we watched Godzilla versus Space Godzilla, because they had an entire section in the app that just called out all the Godzilla movies. They've like got all the Godzilla movies from the 90s in there.
Oh, what? My God. That's amazing.
So that was our Saturday night. We just ordered some food in and watched Godzilla with the dogs. It was great.
Well, along those lines, I'm going to double down on what I said before. My initial impressions, last time we talked about MST3K, we talked about just watching the very opening. Watching the movies, they have done a fantastic job of picking movies that are interesting on their own for their weirdness. Like, it is not garbage. We were able to get this for free, therefore that's what we're going to use as the joke generator. Instead, the movies are the uncanny valley of almost good ideas and almost good execution that make them so hypnotic to watch. And the comedy on top just really, really works. If you're looking for something to watch while you do something else, I don't think you'll do any better than MST3K.
Now, the other thing that I watched with Eileen this week was Handmaid's Tale on Hulu, which happens to be what Bryce is on the lookout for.
That's right. We got a letter from Yaru from Malaysia.
Oh, man, for a second, I was hoping you would go like, yeah, that's right. Has anyone seen The Handmaid's Tale? I'm on the lookout for it. I'm Bryce.
Where is it? Where did it go? No, this is a new show from Hulu. Yaru sent in a really great letter. I'm cutting it down because it's a little lengthy, but he writes, hey there, Tom, Brian, and Bryce. One of the last few episodes, you guys mentioned that Hulu needs some originals that'll help it keep up with Amazon and Netflix. Perhaps I may have just missed it, but there's one in particular that I've seen many of my circles mention. It's The Handmaid's Tale, based on the 1985 book of the same name, streaming on Hulu. It follows the story of an alternative history America where the main secular government has collapsed over a nuclear war and a new religious order has taken over. The status of women, gay people, and doctors were greatly reduced as a result. It reminded me a little of The Man in the High Castle, but with a different fascist order and focused on gender issues. The main character is a woman who's forced to turn into a handmaiden, a slave that's used to reproduce for high-ranked couples where the wife is infertile. Some of the horrible things that happen in the show are inspired by real-life events, such as public executions. So it's definitely a show that wants to teach some very real-world issues. Interestingly, the show does deal a lot in women's rights issues in such a world that has regressed so badly and how different women live their lives in different ways. It truly is a tale of horror and something that I think, seriously, you guys should try out and maybe mention. I also happen to notice that it deals with women's issues, so maybe this might be tying to the topic that someone mentioned a few episodes ago about things that female viewers might be interested in. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Yaru. That's The Handmaid's Tale. It's airing now on Hulu. I think there are two or three episodes out, and they come out on Wednesdays.
Yeah, and it is dark.
Yeah.
I read the book, and if they follow the book, which they seem to be following fairly closely, it's not going to always be dark. It's not a happy story, no matter how you look at it. But but yeah, man, that first episode. Whew.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, if you got something we should be on the lookout for, email us cordkillers@gmail.com. Real quickly, Brian Brushwood, what's been happening?
Oh, man, dude. Hey, I don't know if you guys know this, but Tom and I support ourselves through a number of different other endeavors. And the one that's been on front and center on my plate has been The Modern Rogue. The Modern Rogue, we are 779 subscribers away from hitting 300,000 subs. And every episode, me and Jason Murphy were on the quest to become the ultimate gentleman, warrior, and scoundrel. And in this case, we recently went out to Stunt Ranch, which is a place, shockingly enough, only like 5 miles away from my house, where stunt choreographer and science nerd Steve Wolf, we explored the idea of, you know, in video games, whenever you shoot a propane tank, it always explodes, and oftentimes there's like a cascade that of chain reactions. So we decided that we wanted to see just how realistic that was and what it would take to make that actually happen. So we shot shotguns, 357 magnums, tracer rounds, and eventually set up sparklers all around it so that we were able to actually shoot a propane tank and make it explode. Ultimately, it was amazing. It was a fantastic episode. If you haven't seen it, head on over to youtube.com/modernrogue.
Hey, folks, there's more than we can pack into 60 minutes every week on Cord Killers, but we still want you to know some of the important things that are happening out there, the new services, the options, and that's why we bring you the Frontlines.
Frontlines!
Comcast announced its earnings, and there are a few tidbits of interest to cord cutters. NBCU's cable networks raised their revenue from increased license fees, even as cable distribution fell. They've raised prices enough that they're making more money. In other words, fewer cable subscribers, but more money per subscriber. Universal Films raised revenue too on the strength of 50 Shades Darker, Get Out, Split, and Sing. And even Comcast Cable bucked the industry trend by adding 42,000 video subscribers.
That's huge, man. Meanwhile, ESPN continues to cut costs, announcing layoffs and that the best guesses peg around 100 staff. That includes on-air and online talent. ESPN cut 300 jobs in 2015. ESPN subscriber totals have dipped by more than 10 million over the past few years. We have talked about this like coming up on half a decade now, right, Tom?
Yeah.
That basically all of cable television is built to subsidize sports entertainment. And is this just the millennials strike back?
ESPN's been overpriced. I don't know if it's the millennials or who, but it sure makes a good title when you call it the millennials. But yeah, that subscriber fee is starting to get undermined. At the APOS industry conference in Bali, Netflix announced a content licensing agreement with IQIYI, a video service subsidiary of Chinese search company Baidu. Hollywood Reporter says it will include day and date releases of Netflix originals, though no show titles were specified. Netflix tried to play this down. They said in a statement that expectations of our deal are modest in scope. But this is the first time that Netflix content will appear in China legally.
Amazing. Dude, Hulu's live TV service is expected to launch this month and just announced it has reached a deal with NBC Universal, NBC, Telemundo, USA, Sci-Fi, Bravo, E, MSNBC, CNBC, NBCSN, Sprout, and other channels for the service. Hulu previously announced deals with CBS, Fox, and Disney, ABC. Hulu says it will have more than 50 channels available. You know, I think there's a word for what this service sounds like. Sounds like Able, Mabel.
No different than YouTube Sling TV, PlayStation View, or anybody else.
Yeah, no. But that's my point, is that it's so weird. It's kind of like, you know, we're seeing this explosion and what we thought was a diaspora instead.
Well, let's see. Let's see if these things survive. I don't think this game is played out yet.
It feels like everything's trying to collapse into a singularity again.
Nicole, would you consider switching from YouTube TV to Hulu if they brought you your Comcast Sportsnet Giants games?
If they did, I would, and this is the reason why. Because it's on Roku already. And right now, I have to sort of switch between Roku and Chromecast TV, and it's not great. But if they... there are two things that need to happen. Number, they need to move YouTube TV to Roku, which I think is happening. And the other thing is I already have an existing Hulu subscription. So if it's like just a little bit more than that to get me the live TV service as well as that, I might switch, but it kind of depends on the DVR stuff too. So I don't know. We'll have to see.
Sling TV is offering new subscribers a discount on its Air TV Player, which is a Roku-like device that combines the Sling service with over-the-air channels. We've talked about it on the show before. It has other apps on there, too. It's an Android device, has Netflix, etc. If you sign up for 3 months of Sling service for $20 a month, you get the box for $50, and it retails for $130.
What do you think? Is this going to be a huge thing, Tom, or is this just more of the stay-alive game? Is Sling treading water?
I don't think Sling is necessarily treading water. I mean, it's Dish itself is any more than Dish itself is treading water. The owner, I don't know that this Air TV box is going to catch on though.
Yeah, I agree.
$130 seems a little bit high.
Yeah.
Compared to the other things on the market.
I got a free Apple TV out of DirecTV for their crappy service, and Sling is a better service. I get that, but still, come on.
It's so weird to have moments like that when I know, like, I found out recently that Sling, like, definitely listens to us. At any rate, YouTube announced its kids app is now available on LG, Samsung, and Sony smart TVs in 26 countries where the app is currently launched. This is in addition to versions available in the Google Play and Apple App Stores. And you can hear the crowd go silent.
That was for you. That's you got the kids. You have to represent all parents on this one.
Okay, I'll say, you know what's wild is like, right now I'm pretty happy with what my kids have, and again, I'm not going to pretend like what we're doing is better than anything else, and maybe that this is superior. But I'll tell you what, there's something to be said for good enough. And like in this case, like for whatever reason, we just happen to have settled around the Amazon ecosystem. And I'm not going to say Amazon's better than anyone else or any of that stuff, but I am going to say that the devices we have and the situations where we have to make a call of where we can find this movie or that movie, it really is a case where early on, if you can be the right thing in the right situation at the right time, it's going to eventually, you know, all those tributaries form a giant raging river and you find yourself on either the Amazon side or the Apple side. And I guess I'm just on the Amazon side.
Yeah, you're in the river. All right. Let's find out what you folks have been thinking in our dispatches from the front.
Hey, Big one.
David in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, wrote in and said, last Tuesday on episode 167, The Unsub Purge, you both kind of called my bluff to cancel cable by May 1st. I've been a third-time cable subscriber with Charter Spectrum since last October. I simply haven't found the time to watch anything on the cable DVR. There will come a time where I will have to call it and just lose whatever there is on it when I finally cancel service. I'm holding myself accountable to June 1st. He says a lot of other things about, you know, the calculations of how much he's paying and how much per show that is and how much he actually uses Netflix versus Hulu versus Amazon. And then goes on to say, for the last 3 weeks, I haven't even fired up the cable DVR to watch anything on it.
So let's reiterate, the Unsub Purge Challenge is basically me saying, hey, let's all as a team cancel everything. And then now the rules are like cancel cable, cancel whatever. But the moment you want something, allow yourself to get it, but do it with a clean slate. Do it as if you're having the idea of watching this thing for the first time, because it might be that the cheaper way to watch the thing you care about is to just buy a season of it. Or it might be that the better way is to, you know, resubscribe to different packages. I will give two free passes or three free passes on Amazon, Hulu, and Netflix. I feel like you know if you're an Hulu person. Actually, I don't even know about that. You know what? I'm not giving Hulu.
I think you should. I think if you're not going to watch something, you're not definitely watching something within the next couple of days, you cancel it.
Nope, I'm with you. So that means for me, that means I'm canceling Hulu. That means I'm canceling Stars.
Wow.
That means I'm canceling HBO Now. And it means I'll cancel. There was one other one. I think I even mentioned it earlier. I've already forgotten.
I think you cannot cancel Stars. I think you in within your rules, I think you could say, I just watched American Gods last night. I know I'm going to watch it next week.
Sling. I'm going to cancel Sling as well. Yeah. And by the way, for anyone who shouts Better Call Saul, that's the reason I had this idea, is because I accidentally purchased a season of Better Call Saul,
right,
forgetting that I already had Sling, right?
And that's why I think you're okay with Stars, because you can't get American Gods otherwise right now.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's good enough. Speaking of which, what about you guys? What are you going to unsub?
I'll tell you what I've subbed to.
Okay.
So as I mentioned, YouTube TV, I do it really because of the sports, the live sports, and also because it has the local channels. But the thing with YouTube TV is that its channel offerings is still pretty limited at this point, so I kind of have to like supplement it with other things. And I do watch a lot of Food Network and HGTV and all those shows, so which is why I'm subbing to Sling, the really cheap Sling TV package, to just because I need my Food Network, I need my Iron Chef Gauntlet. I don't know why, I just do. And watching that stuff, and CNN's on it as well, and TBS, the Turner Networks, right? But I do feel you on the unsub thing though, because I do feel like I'm watching certain services just for like two or three channels, which really bothers me. But there's no way I can get it separately at this point. So
right. Well, and that's the whole theory, is that if you're only watch, and those channels that you watch, you might only be watching just for two or three shows, and you might look at it with fresh eyes and say, well, let me just buy these seasons, and the moment they come out, I'll watch them on Amazon or Apple. What about you, Tom?
Oh, I'm going to crown myself king hypocrite because of my job, and I'm not canceling anything because I don't subscribe to things. I don't subscribe to things because I want to watch anything. I subscribe to things because at any day there's going to be a story in the news, not just for this show, but Daily Tech News Show, where I'm like, oh, I have to go, you know, take a look at the new feature on that thing. So
congratulations, Tom. Not only have you given us a new meme, but you have named the episode King of the Hypocrites.
You got the next email.
Okay, there we go. Pat writes us saying, we're going to buy Stars to watch American Gods. Anything we should make a point of seeing? Thanks and love the show. Yes. Watch Ash versus Evil Dead. Ash versus Evil Dead. I'm saying it as a song, so you'll remember Ash versus Evil Dead. Evil Dead. Ash versus Evil Dead. It's waiting
Evil
for it.
Evil Dead. Evil Dead. Also, Outlander's supposedly very good. I don't know if any of you guys I haven't watched it, but I've heard good reports. And all the Godzilla movies. Jennifer in the UK, formerly from Massachusetts, took you up, Brian. Remember, you challenged, said, hey, anybody who's never read Lock and Key, I'd be curious if you read the audiobook before the graphic novel, and I want to hear what you think. Jennifer enjoyed the full cast audio play when there wasn't a lot of action going on. Once there was any action, the director relied on sound effects or screaming and crying to tell the story, and that was just confusing. Narration to tell that part of the story would have been a great help. I found the story interesting and compelling enough to finish the 13-plus-hour book in 3 days. I felt scared and sad and frustrated along with the main characters, but I was Googling how to get the 6 books inexpensively after 4 hours because I felt I was missing something with just audio.
Oh, man, you're going to be for such a treat when you actually see the visuals associated with it. I noticed the same thing. I suspect the reason that they held back on adding narration is because that is actually writing new text for the book, which seems a little bit outside of the domain of production, right?
Right.
Whereas interpreting it in some kind of appropriate way is an easier sell. And again, that's all just my guess.
Yeah, no, that would make sense that they would feel weird adding elements just for that. It's easier and safer to just find another way to interpret what's already there.
Right. Meanwhile, Ruben writes, okay, Brian, you were right. As you predicted from my last note, touting the workaround I thought I had with Spectrum Internet, I failed, mostly. I was not able to cancel the cable and phone and retain the internet only for $29.99 a month, as the salesperson said I would. However, after grumbling in the cancellations department for a few minutes, I was able to get a discount from the regular price of $69.99 for 100 megabits to $54.99, which is a per dollar better megabit price than the $42 per month for a 50 megabit service. There's a little bit of cartwheels and gymnastics being performed here. But he says, so lesson learned on the lying salespeople, but I think I could be at least satisfied with the new deals. Thanks for the great show. Along the same way, I've got to admit that I only just now cleaned up my mess from the person who back in February said that I could get unlimited internet. I finally got on the phone, and it's such a simple thing. All I really had to say was, person said I could get unlimited. It's not unlimited. Or they said I could get unlimited if I get Dish. I've gotten neither Dish nor unlimited nor tethering, which was promised or whatever. Took 48 minutes. And the only reason I was able to do it was because I happened to be at an airport with an extremely long layover. And my wife was just mad as hell the whole time. She sat there stewing, writing me passive aggressive notes about the time they were stealing from me while I sat there undoing that.
Yeah.
Can I interject here with a little bit of a local ISP news? I switched from Comcast to Sonic DSL, which is kind of slow. But they announced today, that they're rolling out fiber to a lot of San Francisco. So the Mission District, Glen Park, Bernal Heights, the Castro, Potrero Hill, like a good chunk of San Francisco is now covered with Sonic fiber, which is, fast internet speeds. And it's an alternative to Comcast and, DSL if you're in the area.
So you're pretty happy about it?
I am.
Yeah, no, that's great. about time, too. Local wish that news would happen in L.A., You Austinites in San Francisco with your fibers. I got fiber in my neighborhood. What am I complaining about? Chris Bartlett from the wilds of the Lake Michigan shoreline writes, what I need is a good place to go and see all the things that are available on any streaming service. I haven't made it a habit to follow many sources for such things, but if there is a single place I could go to look at what new or existing offerings are available, I'd be very happy to eliminate all bills and simply subscribe to the services needed to watch what we are watching at any given moment. Ideal Requirements covers the major services available through the Roku box, is up to date on what is available at any given moment, and concentrates on series or full seasons, as we are generally interested in long-form storytelling more than episodic stories. I've got your answer, Chris. Check out justwatch.com. You can get an app for your phone as well, and you just tell it which services you're interested in or the services you have, and then you do a search, and it tells you if those movies or TV shows are available.
This is our official go-to solution, where
it used to be caniStream.it,
but now it's this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Use it all the time.
Meanwhile, Tom, the Writers Guild voted to authorize a strike if they can't come to terms by May 1st. Cord Cutters News wrote about this a while back, saying that this will be a win for on-demand streaming services because cable and broadcast channels would be forced to play reruns once the current seasons wrap up, and Netflix and Amazon will very likely have better reruns. Oh, that's interesting. I could be wrong, but couldn't cable and broadcast shows just do literally totally unscripted reality shows, and they'd be waiting while they're waiting for the Writers Guild to get their act together from Amar? Man, that's a really good question, because that's an ongoing battle. We're coming up on a decade of editors for reality programs wanting to get credit as writers. They can't officially call anything written because it's technically unscripted, but as somebody who's worked on unscripted shows, there's definitely a written script.
Yeah. There's and my wife worked on HGTV and History Channel shows, and they all need writers. So that would be hard. That would be hard to pull off without violating the WGA rules somehow.
Yeah, agreed.
Finally, and I love this one. Scott from Houston says, "I'm wondering if either of you suffer from what I'd like to call binge amnesia. As a cord cutter, I tend to watch most of my shows when they become available on streaming platforms, dropping an entire season at once. I will binge the season within a few weeks, and then I'll have to wait almost in a year for the next season to be released. By the time I watch the new season, I've completely forgotten the details of the prior season." He talks about The Leftovers. "Last night I started watching the latest season, and I felt lost for a while. Luckily, I was able to pick up on the current story by the end of the episode." I have this even without binging, even watching week to week on some stuff. It takes a year to come back, and then you're like, what happened in the last season? I have this all the time.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's one of those things where it's like I kind of have grown a deep appreciation for the previously on format in terms of not only like, yes, it does a good job of priming you for the context of whatever episode. And yes, it's all foreshadowing, like previously on, and you see, oh, I haven't seen this character for a while. Wonder if that character will be in this episode, right? And you totally see it coming. But also, like, that artistic format, and it's weird to even call it art, but it's like you have 3 minutes. Explain to someone who's never seen this show the things they should know or care about going into it, and go. Like, I don't know. There's something precious about it. But yes, I 100%. I'm with you, Tom. I suffer from in the moment amnesia. Like, I guarantee you, the moment this episode's over with, I won't remember a single thing we talked about.
You might call it just forgetting.
Okay. Or being old. That's fine.
Bryce being real. Yeah. That's awesome.
Who said that? Nicole, do you get this?
I totally get it, and I especially appreciate it if it's from season to season, like season previously on season one of whatever show, and it does look like a little recap, because I can't remember all 13 episodes of, you know, a TV show. Yeah. I don't know. Makes sense to me.
It's crazy. Well, Nicole Lee, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure having you along.
No problem. I am like every single news item you talked about today, I'm like fully invested in, because I am in this new world now. So I'm like, yeah, tell me more about this new service.
Hey, speaking of which, I met Tom real quick. I went up to a security conference in the Atlantic Security Convention in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and I met a number of people who said upon meeting said, "Oh man, I used to watch Framerate all the time back in the day." And I was like, "Well, you realize we still do it?" And they're like, "Wait, what?" You're like, "Well, it's called Cord Killers, but we do it." And they're like, and his eyes bugged out, and it was amazing. So it's like, tell your friends, because they don't know.
Spread the word. If folks want to find out more about what Nicole Lee is up to, where should they go, Nicole Lee?
You can go to twitter.com/Nicole, where I talk about not just tech, but complain about Giants games and other ephemeral details of my life.
Man, if I were you, I would just do nothing but have it be a feed of nothing but bragging about how you got at Nicole. That's all it would be.
Sure.
Hey, folks, our website is cordkillers.com. Our email address is cordkillers@gmail.com. We're live on diamondclub.tv Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We will see you next time.
Hey guys, Tom and Brian here. We just wanted to say thank you to all of our $5 patrons who keep us loud, live, and independent. You guys make Cord Killers the production that it is.
Your name appears in the video credits and appears in our hearts. And if you'd like to become one of them or see who they are, you can go to patreon.com/cordkillers.
You'll need to do more than just go there, though. You'll have to sign up and, you know, pledge an amount. But
unless you just want to see who they are.
Well, I mean, you could gawk. That's a little creepy, isn't it?
If you want to be a gawker,
let's go.
It's up to you.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.